stand by. Good day, everyone. Welcome to today's NXT Takeover call. Today's conference is being recorded. And at this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Adam Hopkins. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, and welcome, everyone, to our annual NXT conference call with Paul Levesque. We hope everyone had a great summer. All of us here at WWE are looking forward to tomorrow's NXT Takeover Fatal 4-Way event, live from Full Sail University on WWE Network. Our call has increased in size a little bit since the last call, so I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge the members of the international media that are currently on the call. And with that in mind, in order to get as many questions in as possible, we ask that each caller keeps it to two questions regarding NXT TakeOver, NXT Performance Center, or the Monday Night Wars. With that in mind, I'd like to introduce WWE's Executive Vice President of Talent, Creative, and Live Events, Paul Triple H Levesque.
How's everybody doing today? Thanks for joining the call. I just want to know, in an effort to improve the waiting process on this call, that was me playing the piano, if that's what you were listening to. Been working on that for all of you. I'll take a minute before we open it up to just, you know, talk about this event. This is the, I think, is this the third time we do this now? To have this call and to sit and chat with you guys about the special. It's amazing for me to see the growth of what we've been able to accomplish in a very short time, you know. I kind of at points in time now shudder to use the word developmental anymore when I talk about NXT, because it really feels like it's no longer developmental, and I feel like we're at the we're kind of at the crossroads of being, you know, we're like college football to the NFL. We're the feeder system, but we're also a brand unto itself, and that's an exciting place to be. And that was always the goal of this, is for NXT to be its own major brand. If I had to put it in our industry, you know, I feel like we're obviously in a much different way, but we are where ECW was, I think, in a way of during the Monday Night War, where it was, you know, WCW and the WWE, and ECW was kind of that third alternative that was a very viable and meaningful brand, and really in a lot of ways was kind of a feeder system, and kind of you got an opportunity to visualize the future of what you would eventually see in either WCW or the WWE at the time. This being the third special airing in the, you know, the WWE Network, NXT TakeOver, I'm sure you're all aware of the WWE Network and that you can get this content with the pay-per-views and including TakeOver all for $9.99. But it's exciting, and TakeOver has kind of become its own pay-per-view, for lack of a better term, its own special. And it's really meaningful for the brand. It's an opportunity for our talent to work live without a net and really really hone their craft. And this one, I think, will, again, take this brand to a whole nother level. NXT Fatal 4-Way, I'm sure you're all aware of it, but you are going to get an NXT championship match with the amazing Adrian Neville facing Tyson Kidd, who, you know, Tyson has a ton of talent and is trying to reestablish him as a main event roster star, and kind of using NXT, hopefully for himself, as a launching ground back to being a roster player. Tyler Breeze, incredibly entertaining character and an amazing athlete. And obviously Sami Zayn, who is kind of the underdog of the situation, but just an amazing talent, and a guy that I will say is amazing to see how far he's come from a guy that didn't have really facial expressions in a mask to where he is now. You're also going to have an NXT Women's Championship match with Charlotte facing Bayley, two amazing female performers that, you know, I'm proud of the women's division in NXT and what we do with it and their abilities, you know. And you know, we had a live event the other night. I don't remember what city in, but for NXT, where the where Charlotte and Bayley were the main event of that card and headlined that card, and it was sold out. And it's something that I'm very proud of. We also have Enzo Amore facing off with Sylvester Laforte in a very unique hair versus hair match where it should be very entertaining, and I can guarantee you that somebody will go bald. And also the NXT television debut on the special of Japanese superstar Kenta, which is, I think, very exciting from a global basis and shows the reach that NXT has now and that the WWE has of our commitment to recruit globally and try to find the brightest stars, not just from here, but from all over the globe. You know, I'd also like to mention quickly, and then we'll get into the questions, to talk about our partnership here with Full Sail, because none of this would be possible, the NXT stuff, without our amazing partnership with Full Sail University. We just celebrated our 2-year anniversary with them, and we're continuing to do more and more things, not only on an NXT front, but on a business front. Full Sail, over the course of the next couple of days, we will again award some scholarships to students at Full Sail. As you know, participating with us in this, you know, I look at Full Sail and NXT and the Performance Center as this kind of teaching facility for everything that the WWE does. And we have about 30 to 40 kids on any given show that work with us from a production standpoint, shadowing our people, working alongside of them in a learning capacity. And as a part of that learning capacity and that process, we take the proceeds from the NXT shows, the tapings that we do at Full Sail, and we put that money into a scholarship fund. And over the course of this week, we will cross the $100,000 barrier where we have awarded over $100,000 in scholarships to students here at Full Sail University to continue their education. So it's a great partnership that I'm really proud of. We've had more than 200 Full Sail students work with us, and it's great to just be able to help them along in their learning process. And you know, we hope to be able to get production people and sound people and every aspect of what we do out of Full Sail as well. So it's a breeding ground for us as well in that capacity. So with that being said, I'd like to open it up to questions for you guys. And again, you know, I'd encourage you to ask just about it. I'm open to just about anything, so let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, star one for questions at this time. We'll go to Mike Johnson with PW Insider.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Hey, Mike.
Monday on Raw, you guys had a pretty good crossover with the NXT talents appearing to promote TakeOver with the tag match, and then on main event, the Ascension was on. You mentioned how you almost don't want to call NXT a developmental territory anymore or a developmental show. With that said, the NXT segment on Raw especially was very fresh and different from the remainder of the broadcast. With the guys being brought up, even just straight off NXT without a big build or big vignettes and production and put out there just to wrestle, how more likely are we going to see this? Is there going to be more of an NXT experience on the Raw shows? Are we going to see more of the talents on Raw and SmackDown going forward? Are we going to kind of see a lot more cross-pollination? You mentioned the ECW analogy again. When you guys had ECW on Sci-Fi, it wasn't out of the question to see some of those guys bleed over onto the bigger shows. If you're looking at NXT as more than just a developmental program now, how much of a bleed over is there going to be with NXT talents appearing on Raw and SmackDown to try and bring people back to the network?
Well, I think we're open to doing that in a lot of different ways. And I mean, just the fact that we, you know, to your point, took a segment of a, you know, our biggest flagship show on one of our biggest nights. Obviously it was our season premiere, so to speak, and taking that opportunity to give NXT and to give those talent a platform to show what they do, to allow people to see the brand maybe that haven't seen NXT before or seen those talents before, and you know, use that as a way to promote the special, to promote TakeOver, to promote the network. to promote everything is a great opportunity. Not losing perspective of it also being a feeder system, you know, and what is the best way to debut a talent, right? This one was about promotion and great giving these guys an opportunity. It's about awareness, and we have the ability to do that. We also have the ability to keep guys special and run vignettes on them and bring them in a bigger way, or to cross promote on all those platforms. It's the one thing that's the beauty of the WWE. We use all our platforms to cross promote each other and vice versa. And that's really kind of our secret sauce in a way of being able to do all this. And to me, just the fact that we were able to third special in, get that kind of play, that we were able to get promotional spots within Raw and then to get that match out there on Raw. And we have the confidence and the ability in these guys to be able to perform at that level. And I'll say to your point, you know, anything new sometimes is going to feel fresh and it's going to feel different and all those things. But the thing to me is, I don't know that anybody would have watched that show and thought like, oh yeah, clearly those guys are developmental. You know what I mean? Like they performed at a level that you know, they belong there now. And now it's just a matter of when do we need them? When is the right time? You know, how do you want to bring them up and in what way? But we can do it in any way we want.
Second question. Kent is going to debut tomorrow and start on NXT television with TakeOver. Any word yet on Fergal Devitt and Kevin Steen and when we'll start seeing them on the NXT television product?
You know, I have a big plan. I'm not going to tell you.
Well, you were the one who said ask anything, so no, I'm putting it out there.
I'm kidding. If I told you, what kind of secret would it be? No, listen, that is the there's a plan in place. You know, I want to, it's no different than anything else now, right? I want to look at this and say, okay, if my goal was just to get those guys some work, I throw them on TV tomorrow and just say, hey, go on there. Great. Everybody love it. Great. But I want to do it in the biggest way possible. And I want to make sure that it's exciting for the brand and, you know, that it's exciting, for the process and that it's putting them on a bigger platform that makes you go, oh, wow. Yeah. You know, listen, not everybody, you know, even for Kenta, you know, a lot of wrestling fans never heard of him before, but now they're starting to get a flavor of who he is, and we're putting it out there, and we're building that. For the people that already know him, it's awesome, and they can't wait. They're chomping at the bit. For those that don't, we're kind of giving them that taste and letting it build. And same with all these other guys. I want to make sure they're put out there in the right way and the biggest way possible to make them as successful as possible. My goal with everybody in this system is, you know, I want to make them all as big of a star as possible and give them the biggest platform on which they can jump off and then hopefully, you know, hit that main roster and hit it in a way that they succeed to the level of what we've done with some of these other guys that are at that level. The Bray Wyatts, the Seth Rollins, the Romans, the Dean Ambroses, you know, Rusev and all these other guys, Cesaro, that are players and that are seen, you know, every week on Raw and SmackDown and other players in the business, you know.
I understand. All right. I appreciate your time. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks, man.
We'll hear next from Dave Scherr with PW Insider.
Hey, how you doing, Triple H? How's it going?
I'm great, man. How you doing?
We're excellent. Sorry me and Mike are kind of bogarting the call here at the beginning, but we got in, so it's good.
That's all right.
You were talking about the ECW comparison, and it's one that I've kind of made as well. With NXT, it's different, obviously, from the main product, and it has to be, and it should be. What do you think about using NXT more as, for lack of a better term, an asset to get more network subscriptions? And by that, I mean basically, I mean you're doing the quarterly shows now, which are great, and I know you've been asked about doing more than them. I kind of think that with the network, that the wrestling is the main draw, because we're all wrestling fans, obviously. What would you think about maybe having an NXT group, perhaps as a group within a group on Raw, that you could use to cross promote, and on the network you can watch them on TV every week and maybe see live events once a month or something like that?
Yeah, you know, listen, I think we're open to all of that, and it's funny, you know, it's kind of It's a work in progress, right? And so trying to figure this out as we go, like what's the best way to not only get these guys the most visibility and the most promotion and give them the most chance to be as successful as possible in their individual careers, make the brand as good as possible, the NXT brand. But how do we also do it in a way that keeps it special and keeps it, you know, if you start to break them out every week and they're on Raw and SmackDown, well, then they're part of Raw and SmackDown. And there's, you know what I mean? Like, there's a fine line and you want to promote it and you want to make it special, but you also want to make it something that people go and want to see further, but want to go and seek that out and want to go either buy the network to get it or, you know, whatever. Listen, one of the biggest compliments I get from fans is when they say, you know what, I didn't know necessarily what NXT was, and I bought the network because I wanted to get the pay-per-views, and then my favorite thing on there is NXT. And that's worth the $9.99 a month alone. To me, that's the biggest compliment we can get. Like, if people think that we're worth paying for and all that, you know, it's phenomenal. What the best way to do that is and what the best platform to do that is, I think, is a little bit of a work in progress, you know, and we're going to continue to strive to do that the best way possible. So it's beneficial to the WWE, to Raw, to SmackDown, to NXT, to all of it.
Yeah, I kind of look at the history of the business, and you see how the NWO obviously invading WCW, and even when ECW, WCW invaded WWE all those years ago. I was wondering, you've got so many talented guys down there that could go on the main roster right now in the right program if it came up. I was just wondering, you know, if you guys, I mean, and you're not going to tell me, but I was just wondering if how you would feel about a group of really obviously talented NXT guys coming up and basically making their own spot on the show and kind of doing that takeover, you know, that us against them thing that leads to money pretty much every time it's done.
Yeah, listen, again, I think we're wide open to it, and I think that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, creative boils up to Vince, and then we pick some direction with him, and then that's where we go. And that's certainly not off the table.
Okay.
You know, it's I think it's an option. My point is there's a ton of options, and we're kind of filling it out as we go. And, you know, in some ways you do that and then you cannibalize NXT a little bit. So do you want to do that or do you want to hold off and let it continue to grow and become even bigger? Because I'll tell you right now is I'll say it to you. So now if you want to make the comparison that right now we're ECW, great. My goal is to be WCW.
Oh, that's a good goal. One question that's kind of different. Obviously, you were a wrestler for years and years and years. You're on the road. You did all that. Taking over the developmental end, when you went into it, did you have any idea what it was going to be, or was it really a lot of learning every day as you got into it?
Well, in anything you do, it's never exactly what you think it's going to be, and it's never exactly what you envisioned. And if you're not open to learning, you know, there's a certain point in time, I think, when everybody thinks that, you know, you're in a certain place, or and some guys get there where they think, oh, I know everything about this and I'm good. I got it. And, you know, the one thing about this business, you never stop learning about it. And anybody that thinks they have the answer, I can tell you right now, they don't, because the business changes every single day. There are some components of it that stay the same. And then there are some components of it that you say, listen, it worked 10 years ago. I can tell you with 100% certainty that wouldn't work today, right? It just changes. And if you're not open to that change, then you're doomed and you're done. And when you stop growing in that sense, you're finished. That is the learning process. For me, of what I wanted developmental to be, it's tough for me to say, yeah, hey, we're right on track and this is exactly what we wanted it to be. And I could tell you that and I'd be full of it. But what the envisionment in my head of what I would have liked it to become and where I thought I could see it going, yeah, this is what I envisioned. And this is what this is what I went and pitched to Vince. This is what I went and said, you know, And he and I discussed it and talked about it and came up with what it should be. But it was this is what we need. You know, we've been a victim of our own success, and these places to learn are are becoming fewer and further between, and we have to create our own future now because it's not being created out there anymore. You know what I mean? And we have to figure out how to do that. And so there wasn't a vision in my head of what to do. How to get there was the process and the tough work. But, you know, wanting to create another brand and a platform for these guys to work on and a place to do it that was as professional as anything I'd seen, whether that be with the NFL. You know, when you're traveling around doing what we do, you get to see a lot of places. And I'd been to the Timex Center. I'd been to all these, the Seattle's training center for the Seahawks and all these different places and seen what the, you know, and they don't all have those kind of, I'll put our place up against anything right now. But to see the best of the best and say, that's what I want to do and this is what I want to create. And like, that's the idea. How do you get there? And you know, I'm proud of what we have. And again, I'll throw it out to everybody that's out there. If you want to come and see this sit and be a part of it, and visit the facility and performance center and developmental and come down and see this and see Full Sail operating and with NXT. And the invitation is open. So we just did a thing, and I want to move on so we can get to all the questions, but we just did a thing where I had one of the editors from Muscle and Fitness just came down here and went through a camp, you know, went through basically a tryout for 3 days, and they're going to do a big article and a story on it. Without giving away the whole thing, you know, he left here thinking, oh my God, this is like the most, I had no idea it was so professional and like, so like, that's my goal is to make this as big as it can possibly be and as legitimate as it can be. And I'll throw it out there to you guys. Not that you guys want to go through a camp, trust me, but
yeah, how did he do in the camp?
Yeah. It took him 3 days to reply to anything that anybody was sending him afterwards.
They have no idea how hard that is.
Yeah. You'll read about it, but it's as I think sometimes we lose perspective because we're in it, but as amazing as this whole system and everything is on the outside, when you get inside, it's even more so. And I think it's eye opening. So I'll give that invitation to all you guys.
Well, thank you for your time. I'll let someone else jump in.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Jason Powell with Pro Wrestling.
Hey, good morning, Paul. I've noticed that so far Kenta, Kevin Steen, and Prince Devitt have been mentioned by those names. Are there name changes coming for those guys, or has there been a change regarding talent using names in WWE that they've used outside the company?
No, it's about us and you know, that's business decisions of intellectual property and all that stuff, and that the philosophy hasn't changed, but also I'm a big believer in you can't stick your head in the dirt and just make like it didn't exist. You know, it's I kind of been that way my whole career, I guess, in the all the way back to Madison Square Garden, right? Like, why can't we say this? I don't get it. Like, everybody knows, right? They're all gonna freak out when we do it. You know, to me, it is what it is, and these guys have input in the changes that are going to be made, and they're happy with those changes and proud of those changes. But I also don't want to say like, well, you know, if I go out and I promote, I can't go out and promote Kenta as somebody they've never seen before. If I use, you know what I mean, a different name. Once he's in, and I can do it, you know, he brings a name value here, and are we gonna make that our own and WWE eyes it, yes, but it's all for the right reasons, and those guys know that, and they're proud of it, and they're a part of it. But it also, to the point of, I don't want to make like they're what they did prior to this didn't exist, you know. And then, you know, when you get up to the WWE, when you get up to Raw and SmackDown, it's different because you have a lot of fans that maybe their knowledge of the wrestling world is the WWE, and they don't know anything else. It's a large part of our fan base, right? The internet's changed that some, but there's still those people. So then you can't dwell on it as much because it gets back to then you're trying to recreate the wheel with some of these guys and tell them something, and you might as well just start fresh. So it is what it is, but I'm a big believer in you can't bury your head in the sand. So you use it for what you can, and then you go in the right direction to make the biggest star that you can.
And also, I recall that when Jim Ross was with the company, he met with the NFL Players Association on behalf of WWE with the goal of forming some sort of a working relationship. Was there ever a formal agreement made, and can you provide an update on any mainstream athletes and how that recruiting is going?
Yeah, so, you know, we're still in that process. As you can imagine, it's not a, it's a complex, a complex strategy. We have, the NFL Players Association have forwarded us some talent, and it's a loose working relationship now, and, you know, we're continuing to move forward with that. As far as name talent, there's, yeah, but I, you know, like, until those deals are done, especially with those talent, they don't want it out there. And I have a couple of guys in the pipeline now that are named guys that are not in here training yet, but are in the process of hopefully being here shortly if we can, you know, can finalize all that stuff. Those things sometimes tend to take a little bit. And for, especially for a lot of those guys, when they're names, they have other things going on too as well. So they really want to do this, but hey, I got to get past this other thing first, and I got to move on from this. So it just takes time. But, you know, for me, it's about finding the best athletes in the world. I don't care where I find them, right? And can they be, can they come from the Indies? Can they come from the Indies overseas? Can they, it doesn't matter to me. And then it doesn't matter to me if I find, I don't, talent's talent. Good is good. Great's great. Awesome's awesome. It doesn't matter to me if I find an actor. It doesn't matter to me if I find a wrestler. It doesn't matter to me if I find an Olympic guy or an NFL or any. I'll find them anywhere because if they're good, they're good. And, you know, that's the people lose perspective. That's the way the business was in the old days. The Road Warriors were bouncers, dude. You know what I mean? That that was their athletic claim to fame. They threw guys out of bars when they were drunk, and then they became one of the greatest tag teams in the history of the business. You find talent where you find it. You find guys with a passion. You know, you can find somebody that sometimes that knows nothing about this, and you bring them here, and they get in the ring, and they look at it, and they see it, and they feel it, and it just clicks inside them where you can just see it like, this is the greatest thing I've ever done in my life, and I am in. With 100% of everything I have, I am in. That's what you need, man. And that's because this is an all immersive deal, so to speak. And it's you really got to be into it. And it doesn't matter where you come from. So I look from everywhere, whether it's NFL, all those things, you know. And we're trying to cultivate all those relationships. So to answer your question, yes, we're still moving forward.
Well, thank you again for the time, and best of luck with TakeOver 2.
Thanks, Jason.
We'll hear next from Scott Fishman with the Miami Herald.
Hey, Paul. My question is in regards to, if you could just take us back to Monday and the backstage atmosphere and the feeling, because it was a huge moment for guys like Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville who work so hard in the independent scene and they have their big moment. And also, guys, you know, and doing so impressive, like they stole the show, you could say, as an NXT showcase. Do you see the other guys on the roster maybe taking a look, like maybe I need to step up my game and be motivated because these guys may be coming up and taking my spot?
One of my favorite things in this business is to sit back and watch the interaction of everybody, because, you know, everybody wants everybody to do well. They don't want them to do too well, you know. So, you know, to see talent when guys like that come in and they're all excited for them, and, you know, Neville and Zayn and Tyler and Tyson, and then they go out there and they kill it, and then you see guys like, oh, man, like, you know, it kind of lights a fire under them. And it's no different than here, whether we came into TV last time here and I was giving a little talk to talent. I'm talking about the process and the place. And I'm like, dude, we got three guys in here that are coming in right now. And, you know, talking about Kenta and Fergal and Steen, and these guys are ready to rock, man. And they're good. And, if I was everybody in here, I'd be up in my intensity and up in my game, because three come in, three go out, and what are you going to do to separate yourself from the pack? And we got to move. You know what I mean? Like, so it's exciting process to see that, to me, that competitive breed, you know, and like, I, man, you know, and I can only go back, like, sometimes I feel like, you know, like I talk about the Attitude Era or my time is all I have reference to, right, is what I did and my experiences and things. But it's one of the things that drove us all so much, and we talk about the Attitude Era, it's like we all just wanted to be the best. And if, you know, if Austin went out there and did something, I could see Rock you know, just want to go out there and do better than that. And me, I was watching them both and thinking, man, I'm going to go out there and, you know, do my thing better. And you know, it just, we were all just so competitive. And so, and it's great to see that competitive fire and to help breed that competitive fire, because that's what makes people great. When you get complacent and you're just kind of, you know, I'm just gonna walk around here with my head down, hope they don't see me, I'll have a job for a long time. That's the worst thing of all time.
Yeah. And comparing the, because a lot of talk about the athlete themselves, but if you could just compare the creative team, you know, the creative way of thinking and the process as it relates to NXT and the main roster of WWE, and do you find it that NXT is almost testing the waters in certain situations for WWE to borrow or use a concept or two?
Oh, well, absolutely. I mean, listen, we're petri dishing characters and everything down here. I mean, in a way, I mean, you know, we look at things that can be used and get over, and talent, and trying different things. I mean, you know, no matter how you want to look at it, I mean, Adam Rose is an example of that, right? We need to make a change in the thing. We made a change in the character. We tried it. We're great. Let's bring him up to the roster and try this. And, you know, it's just an ability to try things in a place and in a level that makes sense. Obviously, still understanding the difference between here in front of 600 of our hardcore fans that watch us and get tickets every single time we're here, and, you know what I mean, are really into the brand because it's their brand and they feel like they have ownership of it and all that stuff. And then, you know, in front of 10,000 people or in front of, 12,000 at Madison Square Garden or at, you know, in Chicago or in Philly or, you know, places where they're harder. It's different. And you have to keep that in mind. But, yeah, it's an opportunity to try all of it. And it's just this breeding ground for all those things on every level. And it's great. And you know, it also gives reps to the lower end writers, to try to work their way up. It's reps to the producers that are producing segments here to learn how to do them in a better way so that they can eventually move up to the main roster. It's camera guys, directors, producers, all of it. It's, you know, all guys, the guys that are line producing the show are down here. They're the guys that are 10 years from now, they're going to be the guys line producing Raw, SmackDown, and WrestleMania. That's the goal, you know, I mean, we're breeding all of it.
All right, thanks so much.
We'll go next to Stephen Milhausen with Between the Ropes.
Thank you for taking my questions today, Paul. And just to go back to Raw a little bit, and how proud were you of Adrian and Sammy and Tyler, considering NXT is your baby, and you've said it more than once in the past? What was your feeling like once they were out there and then once they were backstage?
Oh, I was beaming. I say Steph laughs at me all the time. Like when I bring up a talent, or even just, you know, when I bring a guy up that you've worked with and you want them to succeed so bad. It's like watching your kid go out there and play baseball or something. You know, you're just like, oh, come on. And they hit a home run. You're like, I'm just like a proud dad. And then I can't wait to jump up and talk to them when they walk through the curtain and see what they got. And then I tell you what I was even more proud of is, you know, they went out there, and as well as they did when they came back, all four of them came back to myself and to a couple other guys, and were talking about the differences and what they learned with those differences in being on, you know, NXT and then being on Raw. Even though they've come up and they've done dark matches and they've done, you know, stuff here and there, having that platform on Raw, first time experience for those guys, but feeling that difference of how that crowd reacted and what they had to do differently and where they needed to speed up and where they needed to slow down. I use this analogy with talent all the time. College to NFL, it's the same game, football. Pretty much rules are the same, pretty much everything is the same, but everybody that goes from one to the other will tell you it's a different game. Right? And it is, man. You can be in NXT and all this stuff, and while it's the same deal and the same stuff, when you get up to Raw and SmackDown, it changes, and you got to be open to those changes. So what was even cooler to me is, as good as they did and as proud as I was, they came back and were like, holy cow, this happened and this and I learned this, man, you know, it all went to what you guys have been telling us, and I get it, and that change. And, like, that's the coolest part, is to see them learn and grow and change. But, you know, all that for me now, changing, coming out of the ring and doing what I do, it's, you know, watching those guys go out there and perform at that level on, you know, I had the opportunity to stand ringside in for Bray Wyatt working with John Cena, I don't know, a month or two ago at Madison Square Garden. And I as Bray was walking to the ring, I leaned over his shoulder where he's in character, and I said, is your first time main event at Madison Square Garden? And he looked at me and he said, I worked here one other time, but this is my first time as a single in the main event. And, like, he just got this – he looked like a five-year-old kid with this huge smile on his face that just got the ultimate Christmas gift. I think it just dawned on him. Like, and it was just, like, the coolest moment for me, like, to see him in that thing and to be standing there. You know, I mean, it's like being a proud papa and watching all these guys grow and learn and become what they want to be. It's just the coolest.
And the final question is, with the Monday Night Wars and the documentary aired last night regarding Mick Foley and his involvement in the Attitude Era, and he was the champion, and then, you know, people are like, oh, you know, he faced Rock and Austin, you know, those are the guys, but people wanted to see how you would do against someone that wasn't the caliber at that time of Steve and Rock. And how instrumental was Mick Foley to your career, and then do you feel that he made you a better performer?
Oh, absolutely. Listen, I think for all of those guys at that time, I think one of the things that we all were competitive, we all made each other better performers. But Mick and I talked about it a bunch. It's like that Royal Rumble 2000 match where we had, where, you know, I was champion and he was, you know, he was at a point where he was trying to put himself on a platform of, listen, I'm a main event guy. Up until this point, he'd wrestled Austin and he'd wrestled Taker, but, like, on his own. Now, there's a difference between being in the Austin match and being the guy that it's your match, and being that guy, right? And so it's going to that different level. And I was trying to prove myself on that same level too, with DX and all the other things, right? I was trying to prove myself as that single guy on that platform, and that I deserve to be, you know, in the same breath of those other guys, not just a guy in the ring with them. And we both helped each other tremendously. And I loved working with Mick, and he was a great, great asset to me, and helped make me the performer that I was, not only behind the scenes, but also as a character. You know, he was so good and so believable and so sympathetic in times that you just, you know, it was easy to be a bad guy when you were beating up or you know, doing terrible things to Mick Foley, you know, because people loved him. I say to Mick all the time, he had the funniest split in his career. On one hand, he was this maniacal blood and guts hardcore guy, right? And then on the other hand, he was like a human Muppet that you just couldn't help but love and want to pet his fur, and, you know what I mean? Like, just, it's just the weirdest split of characters, but he could meld those so well. And, you know, I didn't get to see that episode yet, but Mick was a huge component of that Monday night battle. And, you know, he was, to be honest, one of my favorite guys to work with at that time. And yeah, I mean, he was as instrumental in my success in my career as anybody.
Thank you, Paul, and the best of luck tonight.
Thank you.
All right, guys, unfortunately time has flown, so we got time for one more question.
And we'll hear from Ted Gruber with Chicago Now.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
How are you?
I'm good. Like you said, NXT is its own identity now. How well do you think those wrestlers and divas are developing at a pace that you want, and the quicker they develop is better for you to bring them up to the main roster?
Well, so everybody's different, you know. How long does it take you to become great at something? Everybody progresses at a different level. I mean, I've seen, you know, amazing performers pick the business up, you know, lickety split, and just, you can't believe how short a period of time they've been working, and they're just great. And then other guys, it takes years to get it and to hone it. And guys and girls. It just depends on everybody, and that process is individual and how quickly they get it and how quickly they get all the components. The thing that I love is what's really difficult is to say, okay, we're going to hire this guy developmentally, and then we're going to we're going to hire this guy in the WWE, and then we're going to sit on him. And how long is it going to take before you put him on the main roster? I don't know. You know, we might hire a guy and we might put him on the roster 2 weeks later if he's ready, and then we might wait, and it might be 2 years. The great thing is, with NXT becoming its own brand and its own living, breathing entity of a brand, that they now, it's not just, listen, it's still going to be frustrating for them as they're waiting for that process to happen and them feeling like, man, I'm ready and I just want to go and I'm a top guy here and I just want to get on that main roster and I want to go. Still going to be a long, frustrating process, and it never goes quick enough for you because it's the biggest thing in your life and you're anxious to do it. That being said, you now have the creative and the, you know, performing outlet that is legitimate and is legitimately rewarding to you. It's not just I go and I perform in front of 25 people over here, and then I do, we do this little TV show shoot now and then with two cameras, and it's as basic as can possibly be. This is a legitimate brand with a legitimate following, and our live events have gone from, 50 to 75 people a period of time ago to most of the buildings that we run at this point in time are, 300 seat, little arenas or civic centers or armories or whatever they are. But now we're packing them. We're selling them out. We've increased the fan base it's a hell of an experience. You go there, the fans have a great time. They're having a great time. We're selling merchandise. These guys got their own shirts and their action figures, and there's component in everything we do. So they're legitimately becoming stars in their own right and have that creative outlet. So it's not just sitting around doing nothing while you're waiting for that call up. You are still participating in a brand, and you're still getting out there and getting to play the game. You're just not playing at Yankee Stadium yet.
And touching on your whole them being their own identity again, like you said, you're selling a lot of buildings full sale and one of the other areas for the NXT show. Is there any time that you think in the future that you can take NXT on the road to different places like you do with Raw and SmackDown?
Absolutely. It's, something that we've been working on. If I was to say, I want NXT to be a brand in every way possible. And I said earlier, all right, so now if you want to look at it and say we're ECW, my goal is to make it WCW. If I can grow this to where we can travel and we can go all over, and we have national distribution now with the network, but that will even change. We're international with a network, and so people are seeing NXT all over the globe, and will continue to grow and continue to be more and more, and where we can open it up and continue to give these guys, not losing perspective of the learning experience, but listen, the WWE's live events for Raw and SmackDown, those guys are still learning. You learn till the day you stop in this business, and it's all learning experience. So the opportunity for them to go out there and perform in the biggest way we can possibly make it for them, I'm open to that. So I want it to grow. I want it to be bigger. I want to take it on the road. I want to continue to make it grow and continue to what I'm hoping is that the brand gets to be so good where, I want Vince to see these guys on NXT. Well, I want that guy. I want that guy on Raw. I want him now. You know what I mean? And I have to argue with him. Like, I don't want him to go yet. I want to keep him. You know what I mean? I want to have that's the goal, is to make it its own thing as big as possible, and hopefully, every step that we take in that, it's not a It's not a sprint, it's a marathon, and I want to get there long term. I want to make sure I do it right. And each I think if you just look at it as the gap between each one of these specials, where we were at Arrival to where we were with the first Takeover special to where we are with Takeover Fatal 4-Way, each one is growing and getting better, and we're learning so much, and we're taking it to a whole other level, and that's the whole process, and we'll continue to do that and continue to grow it, hopefully indefinitely.
Thanks, Paul, for your time. I appreciate it.
And before we wrap up, one, I just wanted to say thanks to everybody for participating in these calls and being a part of it, and I think they're very important, and I really enjoy the process and speaking with you guys and having an open forum to discuss the things that you want to discuss with us, so that sometimes I think the worst possible thing we can do is just people don't know the answer, so they just assume the worst. So I'd rather have us have these conversations. So thank you for participating today. Thank you all in advance for being a part of Takeover Fatal 4-Way tomorrow. Again, I'll open up the opportunity up for the Performance Center and everything else we do, that if anybody wants to do anything more on it, please reach out to our team, and we'd be happy to discuss with you and see what we can do. And then I would also just like to mention, as everybody knows, I just wanted to take a moment to personally offer my condolences to Sean O'Hare's family and his friends and his fans. It's a tragedy, and I just wanted to take a moment to mention that and offer my condolences on behalf of myself and WWE. Thank you guys very much.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's conference. Thank you all for joining.
Okay.